Christmas in August. Are you all in the mood? Well, you know, once school starts, Christmas is just around the corner, right? All right, let's just get to the state fair first. Right. But I chose this clip because it captures the line from Charles Dickens' famous Christmas carol. Come in and know me better, man. It's when the ghost of Christmas present comes to Ebenezer Scrooge and invites him to stop everything, to come away with him, and to reconnect to Christmas. This clip is from the Muppet version, and the ghost is an absent-minded but very friendly giant. And notice that even though Scrooge is already at home, the ghost invites Scrooge to come in. Right? It's an invitation for Scrooge to come out of his room, his home, his familiar surroundings, his normal life, how he normally sees things, and how, out of his burdened heart and hardened heart, and to come into a different understanding of Christmas, a different way of living, a different worldview. And so Scrooge does. When he does, it changes his heart, and Ebenezer is made new. He is transformed and begins to live very differently. He changes from being a person that people avoided to being a person that people loved and contagious in joy. Come in and know me better, man. You know, ever since our church started to take a serious look at the recommendations to declare our Jubilee Sabbath for our church for a year, I've been hearing this line in my head over and over again. Yes, evidently I hear voices. And I have been in Christmas all summer. It could be worse. But I hear this line over and over again, because it captures, I think, what the whole Jubilee recommendation is about. It's an invitation to pause, to come out of usual life, spend some time with God, come into His presence, and to know Him even better. I see this as a biblical call. God speaks this to His people down through the ages and into each heart. Know me better. It's not really about you. It's not really about what you do. It's about me. And only when you commit to knowing me better can you really know you, yourself. Your heart will change. And then you will know better what you are to do. So every once in a while, pause the doing. Come in and know me better. You see, because our faith in Jesus compels us to reach out and express God's love by how we treat others, how we serve others, how we interact with others, and it does and it must, but we can focus a lot on the doing that we do, the serving. We can spend so much of our time and focus on what we do for Jesus that we cannot spend enough time with Jesus ourselves. Sisters Mary and Martha were hosting a dinner party with Jesus as their special guest. When Jesus arrived, Mary went and sat with him. Martha kept working, cooking, preparing, serving everyone. Need some more water in your glass? Martha complained to Jesus that Mary wasn't helping her serve all the people. But Jesus said to her, yes, serving is important work, but right now, one thing is most important, and Mary has chosen it. I believe this is what Jesus is saying to us too. All that we do as a church, in the name of Jesus, to be the visible light of Jesus Christ in our communities, is important work, our calling. But at this moment, at this time, it is more important to pause from some of our busyness and come away with Jesus. That's actually how God has always called us to operate. From the very beginning, He commands one of the 10 commandments, one of the most 10 most important things that we as people must do. Up there with don't kill people, don't murder, same caliber as that, is the commandment to stop regular work one day a week and to hold Sabbath. It's not a day for sleep or relaxing or spending it on the lake or around the house or even with family. You know, these are good things and you can do them. But it's about spending time cultivating our relationships with God. One of the Ten Commandments. Think about that. This is probably the most broken commandment that Christians do. And then every 50 years in the Old Testament, God told His people to dedicate a year of Jubilee. Jubilee was restoring things back right, back the way they were intended, regrounded again on God. They were to pause for a year from the normal field work and instead restore their relationship with God and with one another. This year, in December, we mark this church's 50th anniversary. And we declare that this will be our year of Jubilee. Isaiah 30, 15 through 17. Therefore, the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, says, in return and rest, you will be saved. Quietness and trust will be your strength. The Lord is waiting to be merciful to you and will rise up to show you compassion. The Lord is a God of justice. Happy are those who wait for Him. The story of Moses and the burning bush is probably one of the most famous stories of the Bible. Moses was a Hebrew boy, but through a basket and a miracle, he grew up as a prince in the royal family and the palace of Egypt. At age 40, he tried to embrace his Hebrew heritage and ended up killing one of the Egyptian slave drivers over the Hebrews. So he flees into the desert wilderness of the Sinai Peninsula. He then connects with some of the Bedouins, gets married, and serves as a shepherd for his father-in-law. 40 more years go by. Moses is now 80. Moses is a pretty fit and able 80-year-old, huh? Yeah. Well, let's take a look at the story again. It's in Exodus chapter 3. And this time, let's look to see how God calls Moses to come aside and know Him better. What that does for Moses. Exodus 3, verse 1. Moses was taking care of the flock for his father-in-law Jethro, Midian's priest. He led his flock out on the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb, or Sinai. The Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame of a fire, in the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was in flames, but it didn't burn up. Then Moses said to himself, "Let me check out this amazing sight and find out why this bush isn't burning up." So Moses, he sees a bush, but just keeps on burning and burning and burning, right? He goes over to check it out. The first rubbernecker here going on. What? We'll go with that. And Moses hears a voice out of this bush. "Moses, Moses." Now at first, notice it was the Lord's messenger, it said. The Lord's messenger appeared in the bush, right? Watch how that changes. Verse 4. When the Lord saw that Moses was coming to look, God called out to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "I'm here." Then the Lord said, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, because you're standing on holy ground." He continued, "I am the God of your father, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The appearance was started by an angel, but now it's God Himself who shows up and calls out to Moses. God saw that Moses was coming over, so God announces, "I am God who am talking to you. I am the one talking to you from this bush and appearing to you." In fact, God tells him to take his shoes off, which, by the way, was something that ancient Egyptian priests did before they went into the temples of their gods. So Moses got the signal. He understood this. It means that God was there. Also, hiding your face from God was an ancient practice that, much like bowing to today, means that we show reverence to God. And quite literally in this case, Saul also spared his life. Verse 7. Then the Lord said, I've clearly seen my people oppressed in Egypt. I've heard their cry of injustice because of their slave masters. I know about their pain. I've come down to rescue them from the Egyptians in order to take them out of that land and bring them to a good and broad land, a land that's full of milk and honey. Now the Israelites' cry of injustice has reached me. I've seen just how much the Egyptians have oppressed them. So I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God's people were slaves in Egypt. Moses knew that. And he now hears that God knows it too. Here's a side note on prayer. This is an extra bonus for the morning. For over 40 years, the Hebrews were slaves. And they cried out to God for help. Yet for 40 years, nothing happened. Yeah, but look what God says. Here's a rare moment when God actually explains himself. When we hear from God's own mouth how he hears prayers. He tells Moses, I have heard the prayers. I know their plight. For over 40 years they've been praying and I've been listening. I've heard them. But now, at last, the time is right. So a nugget for us here. Just because nothing happens or nothing that we want to happen happens doesn't mean that God doesn't hear. God does hear. He knows what's going on. We, however, need to practice patience in our praying and trust that God knows the right timing. That's hard, especially when you're suffering, right? Seems like ages. But look, right from the very beginning, God retains control of the timing. He always has. Doesn't mean he doesn't care. Doesn't mean he doesn't hear. It means there's more going on than what we understand. We have to trust. Well, God tells Moses that God has come down to rescue them. And did you catch how he did this? He says, I'm coming to rescue them, so I'm sending you. I bet Moses ahead he was thinking, I've heard this before. It's the royal we. Pharaoh did this back in Egypt. We're going to build the royal pyramids. And by we, I mean you. But God did go. Himself. Here's a second little nugget here for us today. God chooses to show up through people. God sends us as his people to go, so he can show up through us. So, every person of you who was here yesterday for the community care, did you know that you housed God? That you brought God when you were here? That God showed up through you? When you came, God was here. Pretty amazing. Where is God sending you next? But Moses wasn't so confident. Remember he grew up in that palace. He knew how things were there, how things went down. If God was sending him, a mere human, and an outcast at that, why would they listen? Verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I to go to Pharaoh and to bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I'll be with you. This is how you'll know that I am the one who sent you. After you bring the people out of Egypt, you will come back here and worship God on this mountain. Oh, and before they're done, God also gives Moses a few miracles to do to get Pharaoh's attention and to prove that God's power is real. Let's unpack this for a moment, and we think about our Jubilee year. Do you see what happened here? God wanted to get Moses' attention. So he called him away from his sheep to come aside and to reconnect with God. So Moses leaves the sheep for a time to go meet with God. And it wasn't just a brief encounter, like we see in some other places. Moses removed his sandals. He settles in. And he and God have quite a conversation. The story goes on and on if you keep reading about how Moses wrestled with all of his concerns, his own feelings of inadequacy, his resistance, all before God. And God, in turn, responds to each one. He equips Moses with clarity of purpose, with power and miracles to do it, and with the inner compulsion to carry it out. The time at the burning bush with God, where Moses got to know God better and reconnected with him, was also a time when Moses got to know himself better. And where he was shaped and formed by God for the next chapter that God had planned and in store for his life. And in God's bigger plan as well. So here's the same principles that we see at work for our church here in this Jubilee Sabbath. God is calling us away from our usual work to instead go spend time focusing on Him. Getting to know Him better, but also in the process, getting to know ourselves better and to gain clarity around God's calling for us ahead. And to wrestle with our own struggles and to be empowered and equipped to live out the next chapter to God's planning. The time away with God is not wasted time. It's not downtime. It's busy time. It's hard work being shaped by God. It's surrendering and accepting what seems confusing and impossible. It's not an idle time. It's a different kind of work. A work that leads us to live out God's plan better. Our Jubilee Sabbath will not be a vacation. It will be doing different work. Very hard work, actually. What is God's first reassurance? His first proof to Moses, verse 12, God said, I will be with you. You see, the relationship has been reestablished, restored. Moses was now able to walk forward into God's bigger plan. What's the second verification here? And this will show you that I am the one who sent you. After you bring the people out of Egypt, you will come back here and worship God on this mountain. God's intention is not just for Moses to spend time with God. He wants him to lead all the Israelites, all of God's people, right back to the same spot so they too can take us time away at the mountain. That God could shape them and form them and commission them for what God has planned ahead. This is not just for Moses. This is not just for the Israelites. This is for us, too. This is what we hear God's calling us in this year of Jubilee. It's the same calling to come and to know Him better. So our Jubilee year begins as we come aside with God to reconnect to our God, to have Him shape and form us, to hear His calling for our future, to be equipped to be able to step out in faith. It means to stop doing what we normally do. It means changing what we're planning to do. Moses' plans changed a lot that day. It means surrendering what we want and wanting God more than wanting anything else. It means for us as a church to strengthen our unity, to commit to be one together, to try this as one, and to go and meet God together. Our hunger for passionate spirituality compels us to respond. So I'm going to ask us to engage in a corporate liturgy of hearing God's voice. I invite us to respond like we did when we accepted the recommendations at the meeting, but this time here and now during worship. Before our God. The first of our five parts is to pause from our regular busyness. We're trying to limit our normal activities, our meetings, our programs. We want to free up capacity to encounter God directly. We're going to clean out our time, our space, our building, how we operate. We will refresh our hearts, our community, our space, our prayers, our seeking of God. Church, is this the calling of God? We pause our routine so that we can connect to God. But it's not so much about what we won't do. It's more about what we will do. There are three commitments we need to make in order to spend time with God. The first is simple, soulful Sunday worship. The recommendation is for all age worship, reformatted Sunday mornings. It's a commitment for us to take church as a priority and to hear that we need to be here. For each of us, that means that if we are in town, we are in worship. We must spend time with God. Church, is this the calling of God?
We believe this to be God's calling for us right now.
It's also time to get to know ourselves better. We need to spend time together, you and me, us to one another. We must make connections across generational ages. We do that by eating together, talking together, playing together. The recommendation is for us to meet together for an evening meal on Wednesdays. Again, what this means for us is that if we are in town Wednesdays, we're eating here our evening meal together. We must spend time with each other. Reconnect. Church, is this God's calling for us? We need to get to know God better. We must be in prayer. We must open the scriptures and hear the Holy Spirit. We spend time with God's Word. The recommendation is that we do this by meeting together 3 cycles a year, each time 6 to 8 weeks, in small groups. We will all do the same study. We will learn about God together. And again, what this looks like for us is that we commit to being a part of small groups. We must spend time with God's Word. Church, is this the calling of God? One more. We believe that God has an incredible and exciting future for Forest Hills. God has a plan that we will live into. But to do that, we need to hear God's voice. The recommendation is that during the Jubilee year, we commit to listening for God and dreaming God's dream. We know that from this day forward, our church will never be the same again. We give it to God, and we know God will take it and lead us. This is an exciting time as we prepare to hear God's voice. We pray, we listen, we talk together, we hear, we dream a new dream. Church, is this the calling of God?
That's
right now. Church, if this is God's plan for us, then it is time now to dedicate ourselves in our commitment of response.